This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allah Jalla Jalaluhu said, "Inna hadha al-Qur'an yahdi lillati hiya aqwam." Indeed, this Qur'an guides to that which is best. Aqwam. This is a sifa, the linguists, they say, a description. It guides to that which is aqwam, the best. Where is the mawsuf? Where is the described? In other words, when you read this ayah, you are left thinking to yourself, aqwam fi ayyi majal. Best with regards to what? Best with regards to health? Does the Quran guide to that which is best with regards to finances? Does the Quran guide to the best with regards to social affairs, law, and so on and so forth? It wasn't mentioned in the ayah. Why? The scholars, they say, لِإِثْبَاتِ عُمُومِ الْهِدَايَةِ بِالْقُرْآنِ لِلَّتِي هِيَ أَقْوَمُ فِي كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. In order to establish the holistic nature of the guidance of the Qur'an, in that it brings everything to its best level. Indeed, the Qur'an guides to that which is best, meaning in every affair relating to dunya or deen. So somebody who wants to establish a worldly affair of his, the Qur'an will show him the quickest way and the best way. And someone who wants to attain the highest grades with Allah and the home of the hereafter, the Qur'an will show him the quickest way and the best way. Indeed, the Qur'an guides to that which is best. La ilaha illallah. However, some may say, I haven't seen the effects of the Qur'an in my life. Whether at the individual level, at the level of my household, at the level of my work and my community, at the level of my iman. The Ummah of Islam at large may say, we have not seen the effects of the Qur'an as we are being harassed here and there and everywhere by the East and West. We haven't seen the effects of the Qur'an, somebody may say, how come? Here we have one of two possible scenarios. The first of which really is impossible. One option is that either we have been told a lie, God forbid, wal-iyadu billah, that the Qur'an does not actually guide to that which is best. This cannot be an option. So we are left with the second, and that is, we are yet to approach the Qur'an correctly so that it may offer us that which is best. This must be the understanding. Consider the situation of a desert wayfarer passing through this desert land. He has lost his food and drink. He has lost his animal. He has lost his car, his ride. He has lost navigation. And as each hour passes by, he is brinking closer and closer to death in the worst way possible. And then all of a sudden, he comes across a document of some sort, a document that maps out the entire desert scene. He now knows where he is in the desert, and he now knows how to navigate himself to the shores of safety. I ask you, my brother, I ask you, my sister, Imagine the face of this individual when he comes across this document. How will he behave? Think of his tadabbur, his reflective reading of this document. Think of his blinkless glances. Think of the amount of times his heart will skip a beat. Think of his nervousness as he is reading through this document, making sure he understands every word. He has to know how to read it in order to reach the shores of safety. This, my dear brother, my dear sister, is the type of approach Allah Jalla Jalaluhu wants from every Muslim towards the Book of Allah. If we want to see it guiding us to that which is best, taking us out from darkness to light, from ignorance to knowledge, from weakness to strength, from humility to dignity, the Quran is a book that demands that we recite it with tadabbur, contemplative reading, reflection. Pondering. Allah Almighty said in at least four ayat in the Quran, Surah An-Nisa, afala yatadabbaruna al-Quran? Will they not ponder over the Quran? Surah Muhammad, Allah said, afala yatadabbaruna al-Quran? Will they not ponder over the Quran? Surah Al-Mu'minun, Allah said, afalam yadabbaru al-Qawl? Will they not ponder over the speech? Surah Sad, Allah said, Kitabun anzalnahu ilayka mubarakun liyadabbaru ayatih. This is a blessed book that we have given you so that people may ponder over its signs, ponder over its verses. And what is amazing is that at least two of those ayat, Surah Muhammad and Surah Nisa, the people who are being told to reflect over the Quran are the hypocrites, the non-Muslims. Allah says to them, will you not ponder over the Quran? And therefore, tadabbur is a worldwide duty, Muslim and non-Muslim alike. Allah wants us to think over His words. This is when the Quran will reform us, change us, and save us, when we reform our approach to the Quran. This is the approach of tadabbur, contemplation. And now that the month of Ramadan, the month of the Quran is just around the corner, we really need this particular topic of ours, which is some of the prerequisites in order to attain the contemplation of the Quran. Somebody may say, Brother Ali, I am convinced I would like to recite the Quran with contemplation. I don't remember the last time I recited the book and I cried. I don't remember the last time I picked up the Mus'haf and something major in my life changed about me, my appearance, my personality, my social media appearance, my finances. I don't engage with the Quran. Here, my dear brother, my dear sister, are a few milestones. I will give you five. If you try to apply them, I promise by the permission of Allah, there will be a shift, a grand shift in your relationship with the Quran. Try practicing before the month of Ramadan arrives. The first prerequisite in order to recite the Quran with tadabbur, contemplation, is to appreciate the status of this book that you have in your hands. The level of attention that we give anything is directly linked to the level of appreciation that we have of it and its status. When something holds a high position in your eye, you give it a lot of attention, and vice versa. What is the Quran? This, I believe, is the mother of all prerequisites. If it is in your heart, tadabbur will be coming straight after. To appreciate the sanctity and the enormity of this book, you have with you a book that is extraterrestrial. You have with you a book that is beyond the universe. It is not the word of man, or the works of a shaitan, or the works of an angel, or the works of a prophet. This is the works of Ar-Rahman, Allah Jalla Jalala. And you have it with you here on planet Earth. This is prerequisite number one. Look at the words of Ali ibn Abi Talib radiyallahu ta'ala anhu in description of the Quran. He said, as Imam al-Tirmidhi narrates in his Jami', he said, Kitabullah, this is the book of Allah. Fihi khabaru ma qablakum, within it is the news of the people before you. Wa naba'u ma ba'dakum, and the news of the people who shall come after you. وَحُكْمُ مَا بَيْنَكُمْ, and it is the judge between you. هُوَ الْفَصْلُ لَيْسَ بِالْهَزْلِ, it is a decisive, serious speech that is not a joke. هُوَ الَّذِي مَنْ تَرَكَهُ مِنْ جَبَّارٍ قَسَمَهُ اللَّهُ, it is that book, when any tyrant abandons it, Allah will obliterate him. وَمَنْ ابْتَغَى الْهُدَى فِي غَيْرِهِ أَضَلَّهُ اللَّهُ, and anybody who tries to find guidance in other than this book, this person will go astray. فَهُوَ حَبْلُ اللَّهِ الْمَتِينِ, for this is the strong rope of Allah. وَهُوَ الذِّكْرُ الْحَكِيمِ, and it is the wise reminder. وَهُوَ الصِّرَاطُ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, and it is the straight path. وَهُوَ الَّذِي لَا تَزِيغُ بِهِ الْأَهْوَاءِ, it is that book that desires cannot change it. وَلَا تَلْتَبِسُ بِهِ الْأَلْسِنَةِ, nor can the tongues of man ever twist it. وَلَا يَشْبَعُ مِنْهُ الْعُلَمَاءِ, nor do the scholars ever fill from it. وَلَا يَخْلَقُ عَنْ كَثْرَةِ الرَّدِّ, nor does the Qur'an become boring by repeating it over and over again. وَلَا تَنْقَضِي عَجَائِبُهُ, nor do the wonders of the Qur'an ever finish. وَهُوَ الَّذِي لَمْ يَنْتَهِ الْجِنُّ إِذْ سَمِعَتُ أَنْ قَالُوا إِنَّا سَمِعْنَا قُرْآنًا عَجَبًا, and it is that book when the spirits, the jinn, heard it being recited, they said, we have heard an amazing recitation. مَنْ قَالَ بِهِ صَدَقْ, he said, whoever speaks through the Qur'an has spoken the truth. وَمَنْ حَكَمَ بِهِ عَدَلْ, and whoever judges using the Qur'an was just. وَمَنْ دَعَ إِلَيْهِ هُدِيَ إِلَىٰ صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمًا, whoever calls to the Qur'an has been guided to a straight path. Ya Allah. See, appreciating the status of the Qur'an will help you recite it in a different format, with different appreciation, with contemplation. It is that book that was admired by the jinn and admired by the animals. We have previously mentioned a narration which Ahmad narrates in his Musnad, where the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam told us of a shepherd that was taking care of his sheep. Then a wolf came and took one of the sheep away from him. He ran after the wolf. He rescued his sheep. And then the wolf said to him, "Why are you taking away from me rizq that Allah Almighty has sent for me?" And the man was amazed. A wolf that is speaking? A wolf that is speaking the words of a human being? And the wolf said to him, rearranging his amazement, the wolf said to him, أَلَا أُخْبِرُكَ بِأَعْجَبَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ مُحَمَّدٌ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ بِيَثْرِبْ يُخْبِرُ النَّاسَ بِأَنْبَاءِ مَا قَدْ صَدَقْ بِأَنْبَاءِ مَا قَدْ سَبَقْ. Shall I not tell you, the wolf said to the shepherd, shall I not tell you of something that is more amazing than me speaking? Muhammadun sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Yathrib in Medina, telling people about the news of the past. Revelation, wahi, according to the animals, is more amazing than animals speaking. If we were to invite people to listen to a lecture about spooky jinn encounters, it's a sellout crowd and it's pin drop silence. Everyone wants to hear it. But the jinn themselves, they said, it is the Quran that is amazing. We marvel over the jinn. We find it amazing. It baffles us. They say, no, inna sami'na Qur'anan ajaba. The Qur'an is what is amazing. We have this with us. Laytani kuntu iqtasartu ala ma'ani al-Qur'an. Sufyan al-Thawri, he would say, scholar of Islam, I wish I had limited my life to the meanings of the Qur'an. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, rahmatullahi alayhi, he would say before he would pass away, وَنَدِمْتُ عَلَىٰ تَضْيِعِ أَكْثَرِ أَوْقَاتِي فِي غَيْرِ مَعَانِي الْقُرْآنِ. I have regretted wasting my life on other than the meanings of the Qur'an. Ya Allah, Ibn Taymiyyah said this. Ibn Taymiyyah, if you wanted to describe him in one word or two words, you will say رَجُلٌ قُرْآنِيٌ. A man of the Qur'an. His whole life was about the Qur'an. Studying it, teaching it, defending it, fighting for it. He was so busy diving into the oceans of the Qur'an that he didn't even find time to get married. He would forget that he needs to change his clothes. So busy with the Book of Allah. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, who would finish the recitation of the Qur'an from cover to cover every single 10 days. And when he was imprisoned, he would finish it every 3 days. 80 times he recited the Qur'an when he was in jail. And on the 81st recitation, he would pass away before completing it, dying at the ayah where Allah Almighty said, إِنَّ الْمُتَّقِينَ فِي جَنَّاتٍ وَنَهَرٍ فِي مَقْعَدِ صِدِقٍ عِنْدَ مَلِيكٍ مُقْتَدِرٍ. Indeed, the righteous people are going to be amidst rivers and gardens with a king, with a sitting of honor, with a king who is able. He died at this ayah. I died at the age of 67 years old. Ibn Taymiyyah, he said before dying, I have regretted wasting my life on other than the meanings of the Quran. La ilaha illallah. Uqsimu lakum billahi, Malik ibn Dinar, he said, Uqsimu lakum billahi la yu'minu abdun bihada al-Quran illa sudiha qalbuh. I swear by Allah, he said, any person who believes in this Quran will find his heart crumbling into pieces. Amazement and wonder. This is prerequisite number one, appreciating the greatness of this book. Milestone number two, please, my dear brother, my dear sister, take a mental note of the headings. Milestone number two, to feel that you are the one who is being spoken to when picking up the Mus'haf. It is not a message for the people of the past or for your neighbor next door. The Quran is a personalized message sent from the King to you, with your name on it. See, in the morning when we wake up and we go through our letters, and you find dear tenant, dear tenant, dear tenant, you throw them in the bin, and again, and again. When you find your name on a particular letter, you give it attention. But when you realize it's marketing, again you put it in the bin. So in essence, you are looking for two characteristics in order to give a letter attention. You want it to be personalized, to have your name written on it, and you want it to be sent by somebody who is important in your eyes. Is the Quran personalized? The answer is yes. لَقَدْ أَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكُمْ كِتَابًا فِيهِ ذِكْرُكُمْ. Allah said, we have sent a book that has your mention in it. It's personalized. Was it sent by someone important? Who can be more important than Al-Malik, the King Allah? And that is what the prophets, they tried to do. The prophets, they tried to convince their communities that the revelation we are giving you, they are messages from your Lord. Rasail. They are personalized messages from your Lord speaking to you. Nuh said, alayhi salatu wasalam, to his community, and so did Hud. As Allah said in Surah Al-A'raf, أُبَلِّغُكُمْ رِسَالَاتِ رَبِّي. Ya Allah, I convey to you the messages from my Lord. Look at that beautiful expression. I convey to you the messages from your Lord. Why is it that we cannot put our phones down? Just in case we receive a message. Prophet said, the Quran is a message. Messages from your Lord to you. And that is why our predecessors couldn't put down the book of Allah. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ رَأَوُوا الْقُرْآنَ رَسَائِلَ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ الْحَسَنُ الْبَصْرِي. He said, those who came before you, they saw the Quran as messages, messages from your Lord, Ya Allah. Al-Ghazali, rahmatullahi alayhi, he says, this is one of the key ways of attaining tadabbur, contemplative reading of the Quran. أَنْ يُقَدِّرَ أَنَّهُ هُوَ الْمَقْصُودُ فِي كُلِّ آيَةٍ مِنْ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ. He said, for you to really believe that you are the one who is intended when you recite every ayah of the Quran. A story of the past, that's for my benefit. Quran mentions the hellfire, that's to put fear in my heart. Quran describes Jannah, that's to excite me. Quran invites us to do tawbah, that's speaking to me. This is milestone number two. To see the Quran as personalized messages from Allah to you. Number three, to prepare your heart for the receiving of the Quran. This is key. Why is it that you and I may recite the exact same ayah? It may not affect me in the least, but as for you, it causes you to fall on your face in change and reformation and tawbah, repentance. How come? Because the heart is different. One heart is clean, ready to receive the Quran. The other heart has hurdles, obstacles, sins, cravings, yearnings, addictions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose the human heart to receive the Qur'an. The landing station was not a mountain, was not a masjid, was not a book. The landing station of the Qur'an was the heart of man. Allah said, وَإِنَّهُ لَتَنْزِيلُ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. The Qur'an is a revelation from the Lord of the worlds. نَزَلَ بِهِ الرُّوحُ الْأَمِينَ. Angel Jibreel brought it down. Where? عَلَى قَلْبِكَ. Upon your heart, O Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But his heart was prepared, wasn't it? His heart was prepared to receive the Qur'an. And that is why when he was a young child, angels would wrestle him to the ground. They would open up his chest physically. The companions would see the stitches on his chest, as Anas ibn Malik said. They would pull out his heart, wash it in a container, remove from his heart the harm, wash it with hikmah, wisdom, with the water of Zamzam, put it back into his chest, seal him up, alayhi salatu wasalam, and now he was ready to receive the Quran. Do you think you and I are an exception to this? We have to prepare the hearts to receive the Quran if we want to see us moved into change and tears. But sins are presented to the heart, you see, my dear brother, my dear sister. When you look at something haram, you close your eyes, you can no longer see it, but in your mind it's still there. Why? Because the sin goes to the heart. You listen to something that is haram. You put earplugs, you close your ears, you can still hear it. How come? Because the sin has gone to the heart. You smell something that was haram. You touch something that was haram for you. That person disappears, but you can still feel it, smell it. Why? Because the sin has gone to the heart. تُعْرَضُ الْفِتَنُ عَلَى الْقُلُوبِ. He said, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Fitna, tests, they are presented to the heart. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this link between contemplating the Qur'an and a locked heart with sins. أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ. Will they not ponder over the Qur'an? أَمْ عَلَى قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا. Or are their hearts locked with many locks? They can be unlocked, alhamdulillah, through astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. This is milestone number three, to prepare the heart for the reception of the Qur'an. Milestone number four, to recite the Qur'an with tartil. Slow, proper recitation of the Qur'an. This is key in being able to ponder over it. If you are on an aeroplane flying at high velocity and at a high altitude relative to a city, you cannot appreciate the trees of it. You cannot see the streets of that city. You cannot appreciate its river. You cannot appreciate maybe its people. But if the aeroplane gets a little bit closer and drives a little bit slower, you can see the details of that city and appreciate its beauty. The Quran is the same. If we are racing through the Book of Allah in recitation, whether in Taraweeh or any other place, with no intention other than just to complete the Mus'haf, we will miss out on the beauty of the Quran. And there can be no contemplation. And that is why Allah, He said, وَقُرْآنًا فَرَقْنَاهُ لِتَقْرَأَهُ عَلَى النَّاسِ عَلَى مُكْثٍ وَنَزَّلْنَاهُ تَنْزِيلًا. This is a Quran that we have revealed in portions so that you may recite it in slow degrees. So that you may recite it in slow degrees. Mujahid, he said, يعني على تؤدى, meaning recite the Quran with composure, calmness. The Quran will then give you its gems. And number five, and I will conclude with this, the fifth milestone, the fifth prerequisite to appreciating the Quran and reciting it with tadabbur is to engage with the Quran with respect to repetition. مَا تَكَرَّرَ تَقَرَّرَ. They say whatever is repeated is ingrained. Whatever is repeated is ingrained. Look at how we recite Surah Al-Fatiha, no less than 17 times a day. That's not an accident. Look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us recite Surah Al-Ikhlas, the chapter of sincerity, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٍ, many times a day. 3 times in the morning, 3 times in the evening, once during your witr, once during your sunnah of fajr, a time before you go to sleep. Why? Because what is repeated is ingrained. There is something important Allah wants us to know, so the message is being repeated. Repetition is important. Surah Ar-Rahman, look at how many times the ayah فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ is repeated. Which of the signs of your Lord do you deny? How many times was this ayah repeated? Around 30 or so times. In a surah that is around 78 ayat, it's a high percentage of repetition. Repetition is essential to the Book of Allah. And that is why the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once spent the entire night reciting one ayah of the Quran. إِن تُعَذِّبْهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ عِبَادُكَ وَإِن تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ فَإِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. Where Allah said, if you punish the people, O Allah, then they are your slaves. But if you forgive them, then you are the most mighty, the most wise. Sa'id ibn Jubayr once spent the entire night reciting one ayah of the Quran. يَا أَيُّهَا الْإِنسَانُ مَا غَرَّكَ بِرَبِّكَ الْكَرِيمِ. O man, what has deceived you regarding your generous Lord? Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi spent the entire night from Isha till Fajr reciting one ayah over and over again and crying. What is the ayah? وَبَدَى لَهُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَمْ يَكُونُوا يَحْتَسِبُونَ. And there will appear to them on the Day of Judgment that which they could never have prepared for. That which they could never have imagined. Repeat the Quran, repeat the ayah. Don't make your intention to reach the other side of the book. This is a means of reciting the Quran with tadabbur. A final message, my dear brother, my dear sister, in 30 seconds. The Quran has placed an immense amount of emphasis with the element of studying the Quran with one another. At-tadarus, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would tell us that the angels will come down upon a people and mercy will visit them. The angels will cover them. Allah will forgive them. Allah will speak about them. When people come together with the intention of yatadarasunahu fima baynahum, to mutually study the Quran together in the house of Allah. If you are a parent, a husband, a wife, if you are an older brother, if you are a student of knowledge, I ask you, and this is a plea, gather your family around the Book of Allah, maybe just once a week. And take maybe, for example, the tafsir of Shaykh al-Sa'di, because this has been recently translated into English, and read with one another. And open up the floor for your children to give their tadabbur, their thoughts. Pull the ideas. Allow them to contribute. Set up a reward system and watch how mercy will evict difficulties from your home. Watch how you and your wife will come closer together. Watch how the difficulties of your household will disappear. Watch how your sleep at night will become better. Look at how Allah will bless you in your finances. How Allah will illuminate your grave. How Allah will strengthen you on the day of judgment. How Allah will give you fortification in front of the fitna, the tests that are out there. Bring your family together. You cannot complain of a difficult situation at home if we are not gathering around the Book of Allah. Allah Jalla Jalaluhu will bless you in ways that you could never have imagined without this family time, the get together around the Book of Allah.